Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Monday, February 27th, 2012. I'm Lisa, and our Mouse Chatters today are Lauren, Steve, Bob, and Chris. Welcome, everyone.
Hey.
Phenomena.
Hello.
You are all weirdos.
Yeah, we just got done doing a little radio bump for one of our friends at another podcast. So we've been doing Phenomena over and over again.
I still think it should have been more Phenomena.
Well, we still didn't get it right, but that's okay. That's part of our charm.
Right.
We never get it right, do we?
It only took 37 takes.
Yeah.
Well, and actually it took 47 minutes, so.
Right. So.
Wow.
Yeah, not bad.
It's harder than it sounds, people. Yeah. Okay. On today's show, we are doing listener questions. Yay! We've got listener questions from all across the nation, and maybe we'll read yours. So let's begin. So our first question is from Mark from Washington. He writes, "Hello all. Great job on the podcasts. I really enjoy listening to each person's opinions and perspectives on the various topics each show brings. I want to possibly bring up a show topic or at least see if you could do a round robin regarding your favorite Disney secrets or details. Some examples that I would love would be waking up Tinkerbell in Tink's Treasures or the statue image of Cinderella being crowned as you bow in front of her by the castle. Another favorite is the party line on the old time phone in the hat shop." So those are some good ones, actually. "Thanks for hosting such a wonderful show, and I really look forward to hearing about the Disney secrets and or details that made you fall in love with the world. Sincerely, Mark from Washington." Okay. I know Bob's got to have something right off the bat.
Yeah, I love the windows on Main Street. With all the names of people and companies, and a lot of them are actually tributes to people that were instrumental at one time or the other in, forming, what are the Disney parks, or, instrumental in some way to the Disney Corporation. And some of the corporation names either reflect, it might reflect a hobby or something that the person enjoyed doing. But in a lot of cases, these were names of the fake companies that were used by Walt Disney to buy up land secretly in Florida. So people didn't know that it was him. So that's kind of clever. And most people don't take the time to look up there. So now you know.
I like that.
Yeah. They have a book now that's I think it's the Windows on Main Street. And they actually sell it at the Magic Kingdom on Main Street now.
So there you go. You get the little history behind everything.
I think one thing that we did that's nice that a lot of people don't think of, because they think of just going and hitting all the rides, is we planned our daughter's first haircut at the barber shop, and that was a lot of fun.
I was going to say that.
And you need to, you can do walk-ins, but you really need to get a reservation in advance to make sure you can get in there.
Yeah, walk-ins I don't think really happen anymore.
Well, I have to wonder if most people, if they've never been to the park or they, they've been, but they just walk by, if they don't realize it's an actual real barbershop, and not like not a facade, or facade facade. I keep calling it a facade facade. Well, it shouldn't be spelled that way. I really do wonder. Well, just edit it out. So I bet that's what people think, at least some of them.
Yeah, when you walk into the Magic Kingdom, it's right there, kind of in the, what is that area where the guest
fire
services
station.
Yeah, it's right next to the fire station, so it's right there on the left hand side.
But you took mine, so I was going to say I like so many things about the Harmony Barbershop, and it's just a nice little touch. I'm going to see. Let's see. Chris, do you have anything? I'm going to see if I can come up with something else, and then we'll go from Chris to Lauren.
I have a real brain cramp. I'm sorry. Because there's like something I want to mention, but it's like on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of it. Because, just cut that out,
well,
Steve.
There's the most basic one that I think we're overlooking, the Utilidors. I mean, granted, they're not obvious to the average guest, but, in the Magic Kingdom, you've got a mile and a half of underground tunnels that are used by cast members to, get from one part of the park to the other without necessarily being seen by guests. And are used to transport, you know, things like sodas and snacks, you know, without having that, you know, go through the parks.
Yeah, and without the cast members from Tomorrowland having to walk through Main Street USA and things like that as well.
Right, right, which is, it's so interesting when you go to Disneyland and you know, you'll be in like, you know, New Orleans Square or something, yep. And then here comes somebody in a Pirates of the Caribbean outfit, you know, just walking.
Yeah, you don't really see
by.
That in the Magic Kingdom.
No, you of course, and that's because of the Utilidors, and I know that you can do, you know, some of the behind-the-scenes tours like Keys to the Kingdom or the backstage tours and get a peek at that.
Yeah, I was actually down there once.
Well, and the whole fact that the Magic Kingdom is built as a second level, the ground level is the tunnels, the Utilidors, and they built on top of that for the Magic Kingdom.
Right, so that's another good one, too.
So. Okay, there's mine.
Okay. Oh, I've got another one.
Okay.
The use of forced perspective.
I was going to do that one, too, because I think I mentioned this on a last podcast that I love Italy. Mm-hmm. How they've got that force yeah, makes it look real.
Right.
You know, but I think it works better in Italy than it does in some parks. Like, I don't think it works at all in Hollywood Studios. I just, every time I walk through Hollywood Studios, I think this could have been an amazing park, but they got a little carried away with it there.
You don't feel like you're in San Francisco when you're when
you know, actually, that's more effective than when you first walk into the park and you're walking down, you know, Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard. It just doesn't work. Hmm.
Well, that's true. I mean, with the Magic Kingdom, I like, you know, the buildings look taller than they actually are. I mean, as you're walking towards Cinderella Castle, it actually is slightly uphill. So there's a slight incline to the road, but it looks closer than it is. But there's a slight incline to the road, so you're actually walking uphill. But the upside to that is at the end of the night when you're tired, you're walking downhill. So it's easier to get out of the park, and it's easier on your feet. So there's a slight downgrade to the road. So I kind of like that. Oh, and I thought of another one that's kind of a secret. The use of why the Tower of Terror is the same color, or why the Tower of Terror is the color that it is.
Because, why is that, Bob?
Because from Epcot, if you look at Morocco, you know, they wanted, you know, if you look across the lagoon to Morocco, Morocco is, of course, that painted, I don't know what color you would call that reddish, I don't know what color that is, salamander color or salmon
terracotta
color? Terracotta. Mm. Yeah, it's terracotta colored. And of course, as you look across, you can also see the Tower of Terror. So they didn't want to make it, you know, some glaring different color that would kind of throw off the, you know, the look of things. So they painted the Tower of Terror the exact same terracotta color as that of Morocco. So there you go.
Hmm. So we're getting into trivia now. I like this.
I have one.
Okay.
The phone booth in Tomorrowland that you can pick up and listen to like an intergalactic phone call.
I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No.
It's right by the launching pad.
Huh.
Yeah, there's like a spaceship-looking phone booth. And if you pick it up and press one of the numbers, you hear like a conversation of like an intergalactic conversation type thing.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Well, there's always such a line over by the launching pad. That's why.
Yeah. So oh, yeah, there's always. Right, it's by. On the side where you go up for Astro Orbiter.
Okay. All right. I've probably walked right by the crowds. Did not know that. So, see that? I just got schooled.
So, that's pretty cool.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next one. Next question. Let's go to. Our next question comes from Cashman in Tampa, Florida. Cashman writes, I want to know, what is your top 7 to 10 things to do or eat at every Disney park? That's a big question. And what is the longest line you've ever seen? I've seen one for 2.5 hours at PhilharMagic. Best regards to everyone on the show. And that's from Cashman.
Maybe we should each take a park.
But if we do our top one
in each park, that's good.
Well, for Lauren, that's just not going to work, but let's see how it goes. All right, let's try and run through this real quick. Let's start with the Magic Kingdom. And give me one favorite thing to do and one favorite thing to eat. Lauren.
Favorite thing to do. That's a tough one.
Are you kidding?
Okay, you have an hour in the park. What do you do?
Okay. Space Mountain. And I have to see the Electric Light Parade Wishes, but I need more than an hour for all that.
Well, you have to pick.
See Wishes, skip the Electrical Light Parade.
No, yeah. I have to see both. I like both.
Maybe you should just go sit in a corner and cuddle Duffy.
Rock back and forth.
Exactly. I only have an hour. I can't make up my mind.
Duffy, what should I do?
I can't do it. And my favorite thing to eat.
One thing to eat.
Magic Kingdom doesn't have anything special that I like to eat. I'd probably have to go with. No, I don't really. There's nothing there that. I think I would. There, I would. I would probably have to do like the Mickey bar, the Mickey ice cream bar.
Okay, that's good. Steve.
Wedway People Movers fun. No line. You can ride it over and over again, and you can have a. Well, I don't know if you can actually
take a nap.
Yeah. And it's a good place to see the fireworks from. It's like a different perspective for the fireworks. It's nice at night. You get to see a little bit of Space Mountain for people that won't ride it. And probably a Dole Whip.
I saw that one coming.
Yeah.
I like the Dole Whip. I still have to have one of those.
I don't. It's been so long, like years, 20 years.
Oh, my God.
Chris, you and I are getting one.
They don't do as much for me as they do for Steve.
We're getting Chris a churro, too.
Yeah. The churros are good.
Chris loves those churros.
When you get the churro, do they give you like caramel sauce to dip it in?
No.
Well, then unless you go to the new, unless you go to the new restaurant at Epcot, the new Mexican restaurant, then you do get some sauce there.
Okay, I might eat it then.
You can have my caramel. I like them plain.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't been to our Facebook page, there's a photo of Chris on there eating a giant churro that's like longer than her arm.
Is that really?
That's
that
awesome.
That she brought in from Universal Studios.
It's not real.
All right, who's next?
I'll go. Splash Mountain.
Did Chris really go?
No, I didn't go. I can wait. Okay. Bob, go ahead and go. I'd love to be the wind beneath your wings.
Oh, nice. Thank you, Bette Midler.
You're welcome. this means you're going to die soon.
I just keep thinking of that clip now of Johnny Carson's last show, you know, where she's like tells him that, you know, he's the wind beneath her wings or something. But anyway, God, I digress.
Too. Anyway,
Splash Mountain, favorite attraction, and a hot dog from Casey's.
Okay,
I like that.
I'm okay. Chris, go ahead.
Okay, I think for me, my big issue would be I'd want to do Carousel of Progress, Pirates, and Haunted Mansion. But if I can only pick one, I'm going to do Haunted Mansion. And I guess for something to eat, I kind of love those cheese danishes.
Well, that's right. You brought that up. You're addicted to those cheese danishes.
Although I could have a turkey leg, so I could go either way. If I need protein, I'm getting the turkey leg.
Okay. We can't question it. We just have to accept it.
Right.
And Lisa, what's your favorite?
It's boring, but for my food, I'm going to do popcorn. Their popcorn is really good. And since I can't find my cinnamon pretzels anymore, I'm going to go for the popcorn. And then favorite attraction, it might... I'm torn. I'm torn between Space Mountain and PhilharMagic. So many good things. I'll go Space Mountain. Okay. Space Mountain and popcorn.
These are good.
Yep. Are we going to try to do the other parks or?
We'll be
okay,
here
this
all
is
night.
What we'll do. Next, I'm going to just pick two people. Epcot, let's do Bob and Steve.
Oh, okay. Probably Mission Space. And favorite thing to eat at Epcot?
There's a lot there.
Margarita. Yeah, there's
Margarita.
no, the pizza at Via Napoli.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Gotta do that. Yep.
Okay, Steve.
You gotta do Test Track. The original Test Track. I don't know what the new one's gonna be like. But because Amber loves it so much and she's or 6 year old and she loves to go on it. And then I like the beer cheese soup over at Canada.
Oh, that's good too.
Okay, we're going to do Hollywood Studios. Lauren, and I'll do this one too. Lauren, what do you have? Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios. Ugh, there's nothing good to eat in Hollywood Studios. Oh, I would have to say
they have lots of good snacks.
Well, I would do a cupcake probably in Hollywood Studios. And then favorite ride is beyond a doubt Rock and Roller Coaster. I would have to do that.
Yeah.
Hands down.
I will agree on Rock and Roller Coaster. Tower of Terror is pretty close, but it's shorter, so I'd rather just go ahead and do the roller coaster. And favorite food? I'm thinking snacky type food. I might have to be boring again and go with like a churro or I like the cupcake idea. I love going to the cupcake place.
You are missing out if you don't do the carrot cake cookie.
Yeah, a lot of people say that's good.
Yes, it is awesome. Make
I don't
a point
like
of getting
cake.
Oh,
but it is really good.
Where's it at?
Really good.
You can get it at the Writer's Stop, or you could also get it at the candy store next door to, I forget what it's called, Sweet Spells. I think it's right next door to Villains in Vogue, right there. Okay. They sell it as well.
It doesn't have a real carrot cake taste. It's more like a spice cake. So if you don't care for carrot cake, you might like that still. And the cream cheese frosting is really good.
Yeah, and it's huge. It's a big cookie. Yeah, I mean, easily two people can share it.
Yeah, it's a sandwich cookie. So, you know, it's huge.
Yep.
Okay, Chris, would you like to pick something at Animal Kingdom?
Okay, so for Animal Kingdom, I would have to say, I think my favorite attraction, and it's mainly for my kids, but the Boneyard, I think that's a lot of fun. And, I just like that kids can run around in it and of course get lost and, you can't find them.
But what if you're by yourself? No kids.
If I'm by myself with no kids, I think honestly, I'd rather just walk around. I think that's a beautiful park. It's got gorgeous theming. So I like that. And then I would go to, Flame Tree Barbecue.
Okay. Anything specific?
The ribs aren't bad there.
Steve's a rib man. Good to know. All right. Okay, we'll hit the second part of his question, and that is in regard to longest wait times. And he says 2.5 hours at PhilharMagic. I can't
I've never seen
imagine.
That. At that attraction, I can't imagine, but I've seen longer lines than that.
What have you seen?
Bob's probably at the winning.
Yeah, 280 minutes at Soarin' on New Year's Eve, and it was at like 10:40 at night.
Wow.
280 minutes. That is over 4 hours.
That's
I think
crazy.
Bob wins.
Bob wins.
Yeah.
I got nothing on that.
Yeah, I think the longest I've seen is 120 minutes.
Yeah. That's probably about the longest I've seen.
The line doesn't move when it's 4 hours and 40 minutes long.
Who stands in the line when it's 4 hours?
A lot of people.
But, like, I mean, you got to figure, okay, this is the one ride we're doing today. Because this is all we're going to get on.
I mean, where do all those people go?
The line was out into the hallway.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Because that's a very long and thick queue.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was not far out into the hallway, but it was out there. It was, so that was amazing. So that's probably the winner. I did also on the same day, New Year's Eve, see Test Track at 240 minutes. So yeah, you can get really long lines, on New Year's Eve, but touring plans, like Len said, they've tested touring plans on New Year's Eve, and it is possible to do everything in one day, even on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
You have to get up at like, you know, you gotta be at the park. Yeah, because you gotta be at the park at like 6 o'clock in the morning, but it is possible. Yeah.
Okay, our next one is from JD. JD is a girl. Hi, Mouse Chatters. I was listening to the February 5th episode, and when the discussion turned to Mission Space, someone said there something about having to withstand 1G acceleration. It's actually worse. 1G is what we feel under normal conditions walking around on the Earth's surface. The orange side of Mission Space dishes out 2.4 Gs.
That's why I'm nauseous all the time just walking around.
Well, see now, that may have actually have been me who said that, so I stand corrected, and thank you for letting me know. But I could have sworn that they toned down Mission Space when they split it into two sides.
Yeah, maybe they did, but maybe it was more than...
More than 2.4? Maybe, gosh. Wow.
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because I had always heard that they toned it down from 2 to 1, but if that's not...
Well, maybe they
possible.
Maybe they cut it in half, and maybe it used to be 5, and now it's at 2.4. I don't know. Maybe, I can't imagine 5.
Okay. No, I mean
that wouldn't.
But
happen.
Yeah, maybe it was 3 or 3.5 G's. I mean, wow,
that's still a lot.
Well, I mean,
but it's the ride is not bad now. I don't think it's bad at all. It was bad before, as far as intensity. I don't think it's that bad now.
You do have to make sure not to move your head around and just keep looking forward.
Yeah, you do what you're told.
I think people kind of try to get away with not doing that, and then they end up feeling a little queasy. But there you go.
All right. So it says the attraction exposes riders to forces up to 2.5 Gs.
Okay.
There you go.
More than twice the force of gravity on the Earth's surface.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, so it effectively multiplies your weight by 2.5. It's exciting. So
well, it's a cool ride. I like it.
It is.
I like that there's. I like that there's hardly ever a line for it too.
And it says, of course, that motion sick bags are within easy reach.
Which they are.
Okay. Let's move on.
You don't want to talk about vomit? Okay.
Not really. No.
Didn't we talk about that last week?
Oh, possibly.
We did. There was a quick vomit reference. Yeah. I only remember that because I talked about my kid, you know, vomiting.
Okay. Nice.
In the parks last time.
Oh, gross. This next one is from a listener, Anafangelo, Greg from Canada. So we're now international. Awesome. and Greg writes, Dear Mouse Chatters, just a citizen of the Fangelo Nation. I bet you didn't know that I had my own nation. With a long-winded question, but would you really expect anything less? Not from my fans. Not sure how many questions you have all answered on this question, but I'm going to ask it again. I'd like to get all of your opinions on buying the Disney dining plan versus paying out of pocket. I've always done free dining, so I never really looked at what the true costs were. There seems to be a lot of options out there, both for and against, but not a lot of real detail on pure numbers of how these options are formed. I did ask Bob this after I returned from a recent trip, and although he hated to admit it, and I did, he thought that there was value in the plan, if especially for kids under 9. I'm very much about numbers, so please hang in there as I try to explain my logic and tell me if I have a point or I'm just way out in left field. And basically, he goes into a very detailed and mathematical breakdown of how he calculated the dining plan at various restaurants. And it looks like he's coming up with paying out of pocket would be the better in pure cost, assuming the average would work out in your favor. So I don't know. I mean, you guys have his email and you can look at the math. I'm not really good in math at all. But I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, I think we've probably have talked about this and we all kind of figured out that dining plan, you know, actually does save money, but I guess it depends on how you eat too.
I think it depends on how you eat and how you tour the parks, but I think overall you can save money on the plan. And I often have a really hard time with sort of, you know, on paper estimates versus, you know, being there estimates. And I'm pretty sure that every time we've gone and used a dining plan, we've actually come out ahead. Keep in mind, you know, up until now, I've had 3 kids in that 3 to 9 category. Starting in August, I'll have a 10-year-old. And so it's going to be a little bit different for me. It might not be as good of a deal. But I think there's one really intangible thing, and that's that you know, being able to sort of pay ahead of time and not think about it means a lot to a lot of people. And absolutely. Honestly, I don't really care about coming out ahead as much as I care about not having to worry about paying for food while I'm there.
Okay. Well, that's
It's interesting that people are funny that way.
Yeah. The meals are so expensive. I mean, just lunch alone, the first time we ate in a table service restaurant with our son, it was $120. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And we paid for it on the dining plan. So.
Right. I've been there where you sit down at a restaurant and you open up the menu and I thought to myself, I wish I had paid for this in advance.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt as much for some reason. I mean, it doesn't. I don't know. I was there in December for the first time in years, not on the dining plan. And it was one of the most painful experiences I have ever had.
Well, I mean,
I know it was painful because you were texting me about it. I remember like one night I got a text from you and you were like, I don't ever want to not do the dining plan again.
Yeah, it was painful. I'm serious. Well, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, if you book a trip a year out, you know, or you know,
there's
8 months
no
out, whatever it is. Yeah. You just pay it. You know, monthly or pay it down or weekly or however you want to pay it, you just pay it off over time. So yeah, of course it's not going to hurt as bad because you're paying a little bit at a time. It always does shock me paying out of pocket. You know, even ordering just counter service at the park for two people and, you know, it comes out to $20 or something.
Yeah.
And it's really.
Have you ever fed two people, two adults in the park for $20 at a meal? I have never fed two adults for that little.
Probably not. It's probably more. I'm just giving you a round number.
Yeah.
You know, and by the time I think you add up, you know, the snacks and the drinks and the other things, I don't know. I mean, I guess ultimately everybody has to do what works for you, but I would say, Greg, you know, rather than, you know, working with arbitrary numbers on a piece of paper and thinking that this might not work, look at your receipts, you know, of what you spent at the park versus what you paid for the dining plan. That's your best indicator of is this a good value for you? I mean, for somebody like me, I like signature dining, so I'd have to do deluxe, you know, the deluxe plan.
You know, the only thing I really don't like about the dining plan is there's not a huge margin for error. So if you start missing meals, you know, because somebody got sick or you just couldn't make your dining reservation and you couldn't get another one, that's a problem. So everything kind of has to go right.
Right. And I think he's saying, I think he actually made the point in his letter of, you know, you have the option when you pay out of pocket of skipping a lunch or dinner entree once in a while if you're just not hungry or somebody gets sick or something like that, which is a valid point because, you know, once you've paid for the dining plan, I think always in the back of your mind is, I've got to use my credits. I've got to use my credits. I paid for this. You know,
that is true.
How can I get the best value?
Yeah. I think it's very easy to overeat when you're on vacation. It's very easy to overeat when you're at Disney. And when you're on the dining plan, you do feel obligated to eat because you know that you've paid for it already. So it's take it or lose it.
You know, I don't really feel obligated to overeat. I feel like I don't want to lose my credits, but I don't feel like, for example, I never eat the quick service desserts ever and the kids don't either. I don't feel I have to do that.
Right. No, I see what you're saying, but I don't know. I mean, maybe this is a question that we need to throw back at our listeners and, you know, tell us your experiences. You know, do you pay out of pocket or do you get the dining plan? And if you get the dining plan, what have you found? You know, good value for you or bad value? I mean, have you taken the time to sit down and look through your receipts and total it up? And, you know, what are your thoughts? But I mean, Greg signs his letter, you know, thanks a lot and keep up the entertaining podcast. So. We appreciate it, and I'm glad to have him in the Fangelo Nation. I just like saying Fangelo Nation, by the way.
Hi, Mouse Chatters. This is Adam from Massachusetts. You mentioned me recently when talking about Michael at the Main Street Barbershop. One thing that does not get brought up too often is where to find Disney television shows and movies that have not been released. I'm not encouraging bootleggers or releasing materials that can be bought, as I find it to be immoral. I have looked for several years to find The New Adventures of Davy Crockett, which was released in 1988 on the Magical World of Disney. Four episodes were made. A Letter to Polly, Guardian Spirit, Natural Man, and Rainbow in Thunder, which starred Johnny Cash as Old Davy. They've never been released on any format, and believe me, I've scoured the internet trying to find them. Are there any sites that will have these? If they were able to be purchased, I would be more than happy to pay for them, but they simply are not. They're nowhere to be found on YouTube. I've looked. Do you have any suggestions? Keep up the show. I look forward to it each week. All right, Adam, let's see what George has to say about this. George, you're on. And welcome. This is George from Imagine Nerding. Thank you.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much.
And Communicore Weekly.
And Communicore yes. Weekly.
And anything else I can get my fat fingers in. whatever I can.
And they really are. They're
But you know, when I saw the question, Disney a couple years ago really got into a boom with re-releasing their old material, showing a lot of it on the Disney Channel with a lot of the Vault Disney stuff. But this was pretty recent. You know, this was like the late 80s when he had done something like that, when the Disney company had released it. And they've not been big on releasing that sort of thing. If you go back a couple years to the Disney Treasures, which were those DVD releases that came in the big silver boxes and had Roy Disney's signature on them. Those were all the collections from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, all those great shows. But nobody has been talking about releasing these. And normally I'd say this would be a good question for the archives, but Dave Smith's gone, so I don't know if he'll answer that. There's a resource I was thinking of that the listener might like to see. It's called The Wonderful World of Disney Television, and it was put out by Bill Cotter in March of 2000. So that might be a good resource in order to find out more information about the show, as well as if it had been released in any other format. But you know, if you've checked Amazon, that's pretty much it. Getting something today. So I feel so bad.
Is that a book? The Wonderful World?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm sorry. The Wonderful World of Disney Television by Bill Cotter, C-O-T-T-E-R. And he wrote that in 2000, and it's very, very thick. I'd show it to you right now, but this doesn't have video, so I'm not used to it.
You're spoiled by that now.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So.
Right. And I shouldn't be surprised that, you know, it's a book.
You know,
given
of course.
The source. Of course. And I'm just joking about the fingers. I've actually never met George in person, so I have no idea if his fingers are fat or not.
No. I'm almost 6 foot tall. Not quite your, 7'10"?
No. Yes. I'm actually, you know, that guy Lynn, you know, that Lynn Sanity. I'm actually him. That's, most people don't know
that's
that.
Awesome.
I play for the Knicks. Yeah. I'm 6'6". Thank you, George.
You know, I've been on a diet and lost a lot of weight, so my fingers are kind of normal now, I guess.
Okay.
Who knows what that means, but still. But no, there aren't a lot of good resources, and, you know, I work for a public library in my real job, and people ask us for stuff like this all the time. And if it's not available current on Amazon, it's probably not going to be on Netflix or any of the other subscription services either. I think Disney's probably just holding off. They might be a little embarrassed by some of the stuff from the 80s and not ready to release it yet.
I'm still holding out hope for Song of the South to come back, but
get yourself that Japanese release of it.
I got a UK copy, even better.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Not bad.
Okay, well, thank you, George. We appreciate you popping in on us just last minute. So,
sure.
You're free to stick around if you want.
Okay, unless I really am detrimental to the show.
I'm not sure how much we have left, though. Sorry.
No, that's no problem at all. So.
I think we've covered all the questions. I'm looking through them. So here's one from Jody. Jody writes, is it better to drive to Animal Kingdom if then hopping to Magic Kingdom and staying for extra magic hours, or use the buses?
I would say use the buses. We did this during the 5K in October. We drove to Animal Kingdom because we had to be there at like 6 a.m. But then there's a direct bus from Animal Kingdom to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, traveling to the MK by car is a pain in the butt.
It really is.
Yeah, because you got to deal with the transportation and tickets center, and then, you know, from there get on a monorail or a ferry boat and. So, yeah, I mean, whereas the bus will just drop you off right in the front of the park. And, yeah, that's much, much easier.
well, Bob, I've got this book that you might like. It's called Getting to the Magic. No, sorry, just kidding. No, I'd have to agree. I've done the same thing like Steve was saying. It's actually closer to get to the bus lot than any of the Animal Kingdom parking lots for the cars. And then they drop you right off front of the Magic Kingdom. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense.
I think it does save time. Okay, let's go to the next one. This is from Jessica. Hey, Steve. Oh, just Steve. Steve, pay attention.
Oh, okay.
Any tips for taking someone to the world that has a bad back? My dad has had back surgery and finds it hard to stand or walk for long periods of time. Next year will be my parents' first trip, and I want to make sure that we are able to help dad be as comfortable as possible when touring the parks. Any help would be great. Thanks for all you do. That's from Jessica.
Well, I'd have to say, well, make sure you rent one of the, if you can, either one of the wheelchairs or one of the electric carts, the ECVs. And I would just take it easy and not try to go from ride to ride to ride and enjoy some of the shows, enjoy some of the shops, the dining, the food, and just kind of take it at a leisurely pace.
Maybe get a guest assistance card.
Yeah, that's true too.
Or is it not really going to be necessary since if he's in a scooter or wheelchair, so kind of know. You know, I mean, it'll be obvious that he'll need an alternate entrance, you know, at certain attractions. You know, so I don't know if it's absolutely necessary that he have a guest assistance card, but that might be an option for him to just. You know, for if they can accommodate as far as, you know, an alternate entrance or anything of that nature, you can get a guest assistance card for the length of your visit at any guest services window inside or outside of the parks. Like Steve said, I would probably just, you know, take it easy and obviously, and I'm sure he knows this, you know, stay off of the rides that you think might be a little bit, you know, too
rough. Don't go on Dinosaur.
Anything over 2 G's.
Right.
Stay away.
Right. Mission Space, Dinosaur, Primeval Whirl.
Oh, yeah.
That might actually throw your back. It might actually make it better. Who knows? Any of those attractions, obviously, but I'm sure that probably goes without saying. Stay out of the rough ones, but there's still plenty that, you know, he could do even with a bad back. But, I would take breaks too, you know, throughout the day. You know, it's necessary.
I was going to say that some of the ones that seem tame, like Winnie the Pooh, those actually, you need to check with the cast members, because I think Winnie the Pooh would even hurt your back, you know, because you're kind of jostled around and hopping and.
Yeah, I guess it depends on, you know, his physical limitations.
Check.
When in doubt, that's definitely a good point. When in doubt. Check with a cast member and they should be able to guide you as to whether it's, you know, advisable that you ride or not.
Right. Yeah. Jungle Cruise is fine. Pirates fine. Peter Pan is fine. Yeah. There's lots of good ones that you can still do, without having any fear of getting hurt.
Mm. Plus all the parades and shows and things like that. So yeah, it'll be a great trip all the same.
Yeah. Wish I was going. That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. George, thank you very much for joining us on such a last-minute call.
Oh, it was fun. Thank you.
Okay. Next time, maybe we can have you on for a longer period. I'd also like to thank pixievacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. As most of you know, we have Pixie Travel Agents, Bob, Chris, Lauren, and also George. They're all travel agents with Pixie Vacations, and they, like all of the other agents at Pixie Vacations, are very knowledgeable and can help you plan your Disney vacation. And you can check them out at pixievacations.com. You can download our shows at mousechat.net. You can also go to iTunes to get our shows. You can send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. And we'd love to have you join us here again next time on Mouse Chat. This is Lauren, this is Bob, this is Chris, this is Steve from mousechat.net.